Bez Hashem, tonight we'll talk about commitment to parenting. Rabbi Yitzchok Tzvi Schwartz, in his column in the Yated, tells a story that the Panevizhe Rav told about his mother. He described how he grew up in Lita, in a small town in Lita, and as many families of that kufa, they lived in grinding poverty. And he describes that one night, said he and his brothers, he was one of five brothers, he says one night he and his five brothers had a big argument by supper. What was going on? There was a big snowstorm, and the family only had one coat and one pair of boots. And the five brothers were all arguing about who was going to have the schus to get the boots and the coat to go to cheder the next day. So he says, his older brother says, "We're starting Yish Lemidas tomorrow. Can't miss the beginning of Yish Lemidas." He says, "I got to get the coat and the boots. I got to go to cheder tomorrow." He was the Panevizhe Rav says he was the second brother, and he said, "We're starting Mishnayos Sanhedrin tomorrow. Starting a new Masechta Mishnayos." Says, "I can't miss the first day of a new Masechta. I gotta go. I gotta get it." And then his next brother says, "We're learning Parshas Hazinu. Rebbe told us that we're going to learn a pasuk tomorrow about Tzur Tumim Paolai." Says, I got to go to cheder tomorrow. I got to hear what the Rebbe is going to say about this. And then another brother said he's learning a new pasuk in Parshas Noach, and another brother said he's learning a new ice in Aleph Beis. So the five brothers sat by the supper table arguing, and he described, he said, his mother just sat there crying because she didn't have an etzer for them. She didn't have another pair of boots, another coat to give them. She didn't have money to buy another coat and another pair of boots. So they went to sleep that night. So it's 4 o'clock in the morning. His mother wakes up the oldest brother. Says, "Come, let's go." He says, "The cheder is in the Beis Medrash where there's the fire's already on, and there's already people there. Let's go." She gives him the coat and the boots, and she walks with him the half an hour to get to the cheder. And she herself was wearing a thin coat and shoes with holes in them. She took him to cheder, took the coat and the boots, came back, woke up the next one, and walked with him to the cheder. By 8 o'clock, everybody was in the cheder. And at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, she went back and brought everybody home one at a time, carrying the coat and the boots back and forth. So the next 3 days she was in bed sick. So, but she called him over and said, she says, "Don't think that for a minute I have charata, that I went out in the cold and the snow and that I got sick because of it, because for me it was worth it so that none of you should miss a day of learning." Commitment to parenting means to do whatever it takes so that your children can achieve their full potential as people and as Yidden and become the greatest people that they can be. Now let's discuss some specifics of what's involved in commitment to parenting. Number one, we must recognize that as parents, we are the single most critical factor in our child's successful development as a person. It's not the child's friends, it's not the child's school, and it's not outside influences. All of these things are important. You need to do whatever is possible to manage your child's environment so that he will have friends that will be a positive influence on him, and not a negative influence. You need to do whatever you can to get him into the schools that will be the best for him. and you need to do whatever you have to do to protect them from negative outside influences. But what you do as a parent will ultimately be much more significant factor in your child's development than his friends or his schools or anything else in his life. And it's not even his talents and his abilities. There are no lack of bright and talented people in the world that never realize their potential. If you help your child develop his character, that will go a lot further to helping him become a successful person than any amount of natural talent or ability. Number two, you have to be proactive in your parenting. To fulfill your responsibility as a parent, to help your child become the greatest person he can be, you have to be proactive. For example, Rav Volba in Zriyu Binyan Bechinach writes like this: Kvar kasher hayeled ben shnasayim o sholei shanim, when your child is 2 or 3 years old, tzorich lodas v'lokachas cheshbon, you have to be aware and make plans. Shekesheh hayeled ben arba esrei, chamesh esrei, hu yiyye b'tekufa kosha me'od. When he's 14 or 15 years old, he will be going through a very difficult phase of his development. Kidei la'avor es ha'tekufa shel gil arba esrei b'sholom, hu tzorech liyoyz kosher im ha'horim sheloi b'yachas cham. In order to survive adolescence, b'shalom, he has to have a warm and loving relationship with his parents. Rav Volba is saying, don't wait until your child is 14 years old to start thinking about what you need to do to help him navigate adolescence smoothly. In order to successfully navigate the adolescent years, your child needs to have a warm and loving relationship with you. And you cannot create a relationship with someone overnight. You have to start building that relationship when your child is young. In all areas of his life, you have to think about what your child needs, make plans to fill those needs, and then act on those plans. You cannot just go with the flow, with an attitude that you will deal with problems as they come up. If you take that approach, you are not fulfilling your responsibility to help your child become the greatest person that he can be. Number three, parenting is hard work. It's a lot of hard work, and it's hard work over an extended period of time. It's not a week, it's not a month, it's not 6 months, and it's not 6 years. It's a lifelong project of hard work, and we must all do whatever hard work is necessary so that each one of our children can become the greatest person that he can be. Reb Michal Feinstein, the son-in-law of the Brisker Rav, said that the Rav, quote, invested his heart and soul in the education of each of his children. He monitored their every step, instructing them and guiding them. Everyone is familiar with what the Brisker Rav would regularly tell people that asked him what to do to be successful in parenting. He would tell them Tehillim and Treren. That's a famous Brisker Rav. Everyone knows that Brisker Rav. What is not nearly as well known is what Rav Michal said in the name of the Rav. I never stop thinking about my children's chinuch. I am occupied with it 24 hours a day. The Brisker Rav himself apparently did not just rely on Tehillim and Treren. So we certainly can't. Sometimes you will have to extend yourself and go out of your comfort zone. Sometimes you will have a situation where you have choices to make, different options that you can choose. And one option might be something that will work, will accomplish what you need to accomplish, and the second option might also be something that will accomplish what you need to accomplish. But one of them might be the optimum way to go, the better way to go, but it might be harder work, and it might be more difficult, and it might be more unpleasant. For example, Rav Volba in Zvi Binyan talks about toilet training. Now, you might be as surprised as I was to find that Rav Volba took the time and the space in his Sefer and Chinuch to talk about toilet training, but he does. He writes, Im achrichim yeled muktam midai li yisnaki. If you push a child to stay clean before he's ready, zemazik l'chol ha-hispatchus shalai, it does lasting damage to his entire development. So, it might be very difficult, especially when a family has more than one child in diapers at one time, and the child is old enough that you think that he could already be stay clean. But you're going to have to push him, and you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to fight with him. He's not ready for it really yet. It's not kedai to push him. It might work. You might make it happen. But Rav Volba says that you can do lasting damage to a child. It's not kedai. As difficult as it might be, you have to let him go at his own pace. When a child is old enough to eat in a high chair, very often, a child, if you give him his food to eat by himself in the high chair, you give him a little bit of chicken, a little bit of lakshin or rice or whatever it is, and you put it on his tray in the high chair, and half of it ends up on the floor, some of it ends up on his face, and a little bit of it he eats. But then Lisa, that's the healthiest way for a child to eat. Feeding a child by hand, when a child is at the stage that he can feed himself, is one of the worst things you can do for a child in the development of his eating patterns. So, is it hard work? Does it make it harder for you? Sure, it does. Because after supper, you gotta sweep up the whole floor. If you feed him by hand, it's a lot neater. But it's the healthiest thing for the child. That's what you have to do. Some children, when you let them go outside to play in the playground, if you don't watch them carefully, if you let them just play freely, when they come in, it seems that they bring in like half the dirt from the playground along with them. All you can do is get the child undressed, take all the clothing, throw it in the washing machine, take the child and put them in the bathtub, and wash them off. So what are you going to do? You're going to not let him play? You have to let a child play. That's what children do. Children play. And they get dirty. And you have to let them play and let them get dirty, and then you have to wash them afterwards. Does it make it harder? Yeah, it makes it harder. But that's what you have to do. Sometimes a child will need extra cuddling. There's children that... Some children, they're not interested. You know, you put your arm around them, they wiggle out, and they run away. They're not interested. Some children, they'll come next to you. If you're sitting on the couch, they'll come and they'll snuggle up next to you. Or if they're sitting next to you in shul even, sometimes they'll lean into you. It's obvious they want you to put your arm around them. And sometimes you feel that this child is already a little bit older. He should already be sitting straight, sitting by himself. He still needs me to put it on my arm around him. Sometimes it does. Sometimes a child needs that. If he's 15 and he's still doing it, then there's probably something wrong. A five-year-old, everybody understands, needs that. Somewhere from 5 to 15, it switches over. When? Every child is different. But don't push away a child before he's ready. If you have a child that likes to read and enjoys reading a lot, and then starts to gets a little bit older and starts reading through books quickly, it can be a big challenge. Where do you find books to give a child today? You go to let a child go himself to the library, to the public library, and pick out books. You can't do that. To go yourself and pick out books, okay, you pick out the books, but then you have to check them. And no such thing as giving a child a book to read that you haven't checked. And if a child likes to read and goes through books quickly, it starts to become a big job. You're going to go to the local library of the books by Frum authors, by Hamish authors. Okay, makes it a little bit easier. Most of those books, you're not going to have to worry that they're going to have Nivul Peh in them. But are you really confident that none of them are going to have hashkafas in them that you don't want your child to be exposed to? Or none of them are going to have stories that illustrate midas that you don't want your child reading about? And when a child reads a book it's a kosher book, it's by a frum author, everything he reads, he goes in much more easily. If he's reading something, a goyish book, something from the library, he knows this is a different world. Sometimes it's easier to find a book from that world that you can let your child read without being concerned about the exposure than letting him read indiscriminately books out of the library from the frum authors. But it's a big challenge. You got to do whatever it takes. You can't deny him to read books. Children, the type of child that likes reading and enjoys reading is going to need to read. You're going to have to find him something. Number four, we must recognize that human nature is such that because parenting is such a difficult job, we are at risk of letting negius dictate our actions and not always doing what is truly and objectively the best thing for our child. Here's an example. You have a boy who is successful in his limudim. He enjoys his learning. It comes relatively easily for him. He gets good marks on his bechinas. He finishes his chazara and his homework quickly without anyone pushing him or helping him. Sounds good, right? What's the problem? Plenty of people wish they had a son like that. But here's the problem. This boy is at risk of getting bored. For a person to be emotionally and psychologically healthy, he has to feel that he's being productive. This is true for everyone. For adults, for children, at least children that have reached a certain age. For many people, this is not really an issue. But for a boy who's a Balkishrin, and for whom learning comes relatively easily, it can become a real problem. And if it is not addressed, he can get into trouble. Also, think about the wasted potential. Your son can accomplish so much more. Why not take advantage of it and help him grow? So what can you do? Usually, the most obvious and practical solution is to arrange for some extra learning for him. And usually that means arranging a tutor to learn an additional limud with him a few times a week. And the problem is that one, a tutor costs money, and two, it very likely will take some time and effort for you to identify and make arrangements for a compatible person to be his tutor. It won't necessarily be the first person that you think of, especially if you want it to work. And three, it's possible that it will require some ongoing effort and participation on your part. For example, if he needs transportation to get to his chavrusa a few times a week. Now, most parents are not going to say, it's too much trouble. I don't want to spend the money. I'll take my chances. Probably nothing terrible will happen if I don't arrange for the extra learning. That's not likely to happen. What's more likely? You're going to rationalize. Maybe it's not such a good idea to arrange extra learning for him. Everyone knows that it's not a good idea to overburden a young child with too much learning. We've all heard the horror stories about children that stop learning altogether because the parents push them too hard, too fast. What's really going on? Negius. It's too hard. You don't want to spend the money. And that's why you're not arranging for the extra learning that the child needs. Do you have to be careful not to pile on too much work before he's ready? Of course you do. Do you have to be careful not to arrange for extra learning for your child just so that you can boast about your son, the Masmid? Of course. You have to do things for the right reasons and at the right time. But the same way that you have to be careful not to push your child to do extra learning before he's ready or for the wrong reasons, you also have to be careful not to hold back from giving him extra learning when he needs it because you don't want to work too hard or because you don't want to spend the money. You have to constantly be checking and double checking and triple checking to be sure that everything that you are doing and all the decisions that you're making for your child are for the right reasons. It's not easy, but nobody ever said that parenting was easy. Number five, when it comes to the obligation to help our children become the greatest people that they can be, there is no difference between an only child and between one of 10 children. Of course, parenting is much more challenging when you have a house full of children, especially if they're close in age. But whether you are gebenched with one child, with two children, or with 10 children, your obligation is the same for each one of the children. You have to help each person become the greatest person that he can be. And that means that everything you would do for a child, if he will be a ben yochid, you have to do for him, even if he is one of 10 children. Number six. Our effectiveness as parents is directly linked to the level of the development of our midas and our character. Rav Olba says in Zvi'u Binyan, "Bli midas tovus I efshel lechanech." Without good midas, you cannot be mechanech. Im adam eino over al atzmai, al hamidas shelai, eino yochol liyos mechanech. If a person does not work on himself to refine his midas, he cannot be an effective mechanech. Rav Olba is talking about parenting here, not about a machanach in a professional setting. If you want to be a successful parent, you need to develop good midas and refine your character. There are a few reasons for this. The most obvious is that the thing that has the greatest impact on the development and refinement of your children's midas and character is the example that you set for them. If you want your children to have good midas and a refined character, then you have to set an example for them of good midas and a refined character. But it's more than that. Think about how critical selflessness is to proper parenting. It's not just about giving up a Shabbos afternoon nap to take care of your children. Among other things, it's about being sure that all of the decisions that you make regarding your children are made with their best interests at heart. When you decide what school to send your child to and what shidduch to look into for him, your decision has to be based completely on what's best for your child, not what makes you feel good or look good. Closely related to this is honesty. And it's not just about setting an example of always being truthful, even when it might be uncomfortable. It's not just about not lying or cheating. It's also about being honest with yourself, so that you know what the real reasons are for why you do what you do. Otherwise, you might think you're doing something for the right reasons, but really you're just fooling yourself. How do you react when your child doesn't listen to you? I know this probably never happened to anybody who's sitting over here, but I'm sure you've all heard that by Yenim, by other people, sometimes it happens that a child can act in a way that's disrespectful, or a child can do various different things that you know, the natural inclination is that your blood pressure goes up. Now, how do you react? If your natural reaction might be to discipline your child, to punish him, to tell him off sharply, that might be your natural reaction. But are you doing that because you thought about it and objectively you came to the decision and conclusion that that is what the best thing is to do for your child so that he will improve? Or are you reacting emotionally? Because you know, your child was pugging in your covet. He stepped on your toes. So you're reacting emotionally. Is it about your ego? Or are you doing what you're doing, whatever you're saying, whatever you're reacting, however you're responding to what your child did? Are you doing that because that's really what the best thing for your child is? Number 7, finding the right balance. The well-known Rambam says that in almost all areas of life, the middle road is the best way to go. That's true, of course, in many areas of life, in most areas of your life, but it's especially true when it comes to parenting. For example, the extra learning for your child. How much learning does he really need? You know, on one hand, you know, you want to set high standards. You'd like him to do the best he can, to learn the most he can, to accomplish the most that he can. But you have to find the right balance. You can't push him too hard. You can't be pushing him when he's not really excited about it. If he's not excited about the extra learning, and for him it's not a treat to have the extra learning, then you shouldn't be pushing him at a young age to do extra learning. You have to find the right balance. If you lift that up a level, think about what your vision is in general for your child. Your overall vision for what you would like your child to become when he grows up as an adult. What your overall vision of what you expect from your child. In general, the standards that you set and that you expect for your child. Are you being realistic? Of course, if you want it, you want your child to become something special. You want him to fulfill his potential. You want him to become a great person. But you have to be realistic. Every child can become special. Every child can become great. But it has to be in his way. You have to find the right balance. Your Shabbos table. You want your Shabbos table to be fun. You want your children to enjoy themselves on Shabbos. Very important. Shabbos should be a pleasant experience for children. But at the same time, it should also be meaningful. There should be an element of ruchnius. It shouldn't be just a party. You have to find the right balance. The right balance between having fun and being enjoyable. And on the other hand, that should be... It should have a ruchniyistik atam, and it should be uplifting. It's all about finding the right balance. parenting is a cyclical process. The parenting cycle is made up of four phases. Evaluate, plan, act, and monitor. Each phase leads to the next. And what you do in each phase is based on the results of the previous phase. Your plan is based on the results of your evaluation. And when you act, your actions should be according to your plan. Then you monitor what happens, and then you go back to the beginning and evaluate your child based on the observations that you made while you were monitoring what was happening. And you continue to go around and around in a constantly ongoing process. It's important to understand this because I think that most people are naturally going to do the things that are in the act phase. It's the evaluating, the planning, and then the monitoring that I think might be something that you need to put a little thought into to make sure that you're doing it properly. And even if you're doing these things already instinctively, there's a big difference between doing something instinctively and doing something in a deliberate and structured way. When you do something in a deliberate and thought-out way, you significantly increase your chances for success. So it's worthwhile thinking about these phases of parenting and understanding what we want to accomplish with each one and what they require. So let's go into some more detail for each one of the phases. First is evaluate. Chanoich l'naro pidarkoi. Every person is unique, and every child is unique. So every child needs the chinuch that is best for him, that will accomplish the most for him, that will be tailored for him. For example, one child is more studious, one child is less studious. The more studious child is going to need extra help, possibly extra tutoring. The less studious child might need tutoring because he needs help just to keep up. Yeah, you could have an athletic child that's naturally athletic, naturally coordinated. Some children are not like that. Some children have extra energy. Children in general have a lot of energy, but there's some that are benched with even more than the normal. You have to know your child's weaknesses. For example, a child can have a tendency to be fearful and anxious. A child can have a tendency to be disorganized. Some children are naturally organized. Happens every once in a while you find a child like that. You go into his room, the bed is made, there's no clothing on the floor, the toys are all in their place, the books are in the bookshelf. But that's not that common. Most children tend more to be disorganized. That's probably a much more common thing. These things are not black and white. People are a mix. People are a blend of different things. Not only are people different, but even children in the same family are different. In one family, you could have one child that's more studious, one child that's less studious, one child's more active, one child that's less active. So, you need to have a plan to deal with each child. So for the child that's less studious, he's going to need extra help so that he can keep up with his limudim, with his schoolwork. The child that's more studious, he might need extra tutoring so that he can learn something extra so that he doesn't get bored. The child that's athletic, you might have to make arrangements for him that he can go to a gym a couple of times a week so he can play ball. Otherwise, he's just not going to be happy. The child that has the extra energy, maybe you're going to have to go buy him a set of drums and soundproof a closet in your house and let him go in there for 2 hours every night and bang away on the drums. Find him a good outlet for that extra energy. If a child has a tendency to be anxious. So you're going to have to work with him. You're going to have to give him extra coaching on how to deal with his anxieties. He's going to need extra attention to help deal with that. And then you have to act. You have to implement the plan. Okay? For example, let's say you made a plan to do extra preparation for Shabbos, to make your Shabbos and that the family a little bit extra. So, what's the plan? The plan is you're going to try and get a short nap every Friday afternoon so that you don't fall asleep at the table. Okay? Is it easy? No, it's not easy. Especially a short Friday. Who has time? But you know, if you don't do it, then your Shabbos Suda is you falling asleep at the table and the kids wandering away to go find something to do because Tati's has his head in the soup. Okay? You might need some preparation. Go look up some stories, some nice Divrei Torah that are the kind of Divrei Torah that you can say at the table for young children or for your guests or your older children, whatever it is. It needs preparation. So that's your plan. Is it easy? It's not easy. Who has extra time? You got to do it. If your child is getting some extra tutoring, and what it means is that you have to provide the transportation, so you have to make the time to do it. You can't be canceling every other time because you forgot about it, didn't fit into your schedule. You have a chasana, you have a bar mitzvah, you have this, you have that. If that's what your child needs, you already made the arrangements, you made the plan, now do it. Here's another example. Let's say you have a child that you're having a problem. This child throws tantrums. Doesn't get what he wants. Throws a tantrum. Okay? So, you make a plan. That's not easy. What's the plan going to be? You have to manage his environment. What does that mean? Let's say, why is he throwing a tantrum? He's throwing a tantrum because every time that he plays with his toys, his younger sibling, the baby, comes along and knocks down what he's playing with and starts taking away his toys. And he gets upset. Nope. Can't blame him. So what's the plan? The plan is that you're going to have to make a place for him, find a space for him to play, where he can play and not be disturbed. Someone has to watch the baby. You have a plan. You got to do something. Not so simple. But if you're not going to do that, then it's really not fair of you to be upset with him that he's throwing a tantrum. What do you expect? Okay? Now, maybe part of your plan is that if he's going to throw a tantrum because he wants the latest technological toy. Comes in, this child is always coming in asking, I want this. Yanko down the block has got this toy. Shlomi from my class is going on a trip, etc., etc. There's always something. Somebody else is always doing something better, more exciting, more fun. Okay? It's always greener. The grass is always greener by the neighbor. So he comes in. He wants this. He wants that. He wants the other. And sometimes some things maybe you can do with him, but not everything you can do. And let's say now you have a problem that he throws a tantrum if he doesn't get what he wants. So what's your plan? How to deal with that? Your plan is you're going to stand firm. That's your plan. Is it easy? No. He's screaming, crying, and yelling. And you have to just, no, I'm sorry. We're not doing that now. We're not doing that now. We're not buying that now. And you have to just be strong. And then part of your plan is, the last part of your plan is, that when he throws a tantrum, you're not going to lose your temper. And you're not going to then, you know, add to the problem by yelling back at him to stop yelling. Right? You know how it goes. He yells and you yell, stop yelling. Right? So that's part of your plan. Your plan is that you're not going to lose your temper. So this is not easy. It's not easy. But you thought about it. You realize, have a child. He's those tantrums. We've got to help him. We've got to help him get through this. You made your plan. Now you got to do it. Then, The next thing is monitoring. You have to monitor. You have to watch. Children change from year to year, from month to month, sometimes from week to week. And you have to watch them, and you have to see. You made an arrangement for your child to go to a gym to play ball a couple times a week. You have to watch. You have to be careful. You have to be on top of it. Who else is going there? Who is he associating with? Is he picking up any bad habits? Is he picking up any bad hashpah of any other type from children that he's playing with? And it's not just necessarily things that come about as a result of things that we did or we arranged. When we're talking about monitoring, it's all aspects of your child's life. You have to be watching your children constantly. If the Brisker Rav had to watch his children constantly, so we for sure do. So we monitor our children, and then we go back again and we evaluate it, and then we make change our plans or make new plans based on our evaluation, and the circle goes around and around and around and around, and we continue doing that for as long as our children are as long as our children need it. Now, you might have noticed that in our entire discussion, there is very little that we've talked about that involves direct interaction with your children. We have not talked about many things about the specifics of interacting with your children. We talked about evaluating, we talked about planning, yeah, we talked about acting, and a lot of that might be direct interaction. But we also talked about monitoring. And when you think about this, you will see that this holds true regarding many aspects of parenting. A lot of what we do, and almost probably we can say that most of what we do as parents is not directly interacting with our children, does not involve direct interaction with our children. One of the most important things that you have to do so that you can be a successful parent is to have a vision of what your child should be, what you want your child to be, what you want your child to grow into. You visualize your child as being a successful child. That's not directly interacting with the child. You know, that's you in your head. Okay? One of the most powerful tools, maybe the most powerful tool that you have as a parent, is the example that you set to be a role model for your parent, to be a role model for your children. That's not direct interaction with your child. That's you, how you act. Sometimes it's not doing something. Example, you have some guests at your house for Shabbos Suda, and something comes into your head or something starts to come into the conversation about a type of conversation that's not appropriate to have in front of children. You have children and you don't talk about certain things. Okay? There's certain restrictions that you have as a parent. Again, this is not something that's an instruction of what to say to a child, how to get your child to do A, B, C. Think of parenting as an iceberg. Almost 90% of an iceberg is under the water. Only approximately 10% of an iceberg is visible. Parenting is the same thing. The overwhelming majority of the work that you need to do for effective and successful parenting is indirect. Only a very small part of parenting is a direct interaction with you and your child.